Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Happy Monday, best day of the week.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good to see everyone.
Welcome back, Mr. Lane. How are you feeling after Nashville, after your big appearance on the big stage?
One, that stage was freaking crazy. Taylor Swift style, where you have the entire audience surrounding you stage. But Will, like, you brought the energy at that conference, 7 a.m., walking out on stage to the music, shooting dollar bills with Julie out into the crowd.
We had to bring that early morning energy.
I mean, for a conference that was 12 hours long, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., like, I can't believe you guys were able to keep that going for, 2.5 days straight?
Yeah, it was wild, but thankfully, not drinking a lot, having a birthday beer and then a drink with you, definitely helped, and a lot of coffee. So, shout out to the caffeine.
What's going on backstage there?
Yeah, definitely. I had people running me Red Bulls, coffee. Claire was a trooper and getting me food just because, it was great. So lots of fun, but it was awesome. I was proud. I felt like a proud dad behind stage videotaping you walk out on your entry with the big crowd out there. So it was a big moment. It's a big moment to see the GMH represent.
You looked like a celebrity, Jamie. That video Will circulated. I mean, walking out to your TED Talk or something.
So my one big takeaway from the conference is I didn't realize how many Airbnb coaches there actually are. And my one suggestion for you guys, instead of Good Morning Startups, might just be Good Morning Coaches, where you guys just coach. It seems like that's where the money is out there.
Hey, we're in for the equity.
What if we coached all the coaches?
Yeah. Super meta. The Good Morning Startups is a fun piece, but we're not here to coach people. We're here to advise, and we just want that equity slice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll keep my opinions about the Airbnb coaches to myself.
We have a lot of new listeners. For those who are tuning into the live, let us know where you are. We'd love to know where your location is, where you're tuning in from. But we also, you guys just mentioned, we do have a lot of new listeners from short-term rental wealth, plus other, industry events like Level Up Your Listing coming up in March in Scottsdale. That'll be emceeing again as well. So shout out to all of our new listeners for liking and subscribing, tuning into the live show, following on Instagram. Jamie with the coffee mug, representing always again. For quick intros, we have Michael Golden, who is a co-founder of Storied Collection. He is the connector of all connectors. Mr. Networking is what I like to call him. We have then Brandy Canali, COO of Romy. She's also the best urban operator I could ever think of. There's no competition. She just knows her shit inside and out. What up, Brandy Canale? And then we have Mr. Lane, chief economist at AirDNA, who just knows the numbers and the data that we always scream for every month. So that's your recap of the host. I'm Will Slickers, founder of Hospitality FM. And now we're diving in. So, Jamie, I actually want to start with you. Let's kick off. Earning calls. Oh, Golden, what do you got?
Yeah.
What do you got?
I just wanted to say, add one more moniker to your name, King of Slogans, because you've officially worked in all of our slogans now.
Yeah.
and we're 4 minutes in. So, all right, I'll turn it back to you.
No worries. I love it. Now, Jamie, back to you. I want to start earning calls. You observe and listen to the earning calls when they come out. You did send it into our group chat, which is super helpful because when I'm having my early morning coffee, it was a good review. But would love to have you kind of start, and then we'll open up the floor for commentary.
Yeah, one, it was just a great quarter for travel in general. You heard it from the hotel companies. You heard it from Airbnb. You heard it from Expedia, Booking.com, all massive years in terms of growth, all double-digit growth for both top-line bookings and revenue. So this is an unbelievably healthy industry. What I think stood out to me, and interested in what you guys see, but it's really the competition. It's heating up. So like in the Airbnb earnings calls, I'm not sure if you guys listened, but Brian Chesky mentioned hotels 17 times. One of the quotes was, hotels are main competition. So we talk about the sort of competition between professional hosts, individual operators, small host operators. Airbnb clearly sees the competition in the hotels. You listen to Expedia's earnings call. They were very focused on Airbnb and running ads against them on the Super Bowl. So competition is clearly heating up in the industry, and I think that makes it exciting. Like, we're sort of past the COVID recovery and into how can we grow share.
I was going to say it was a really good report overall from everybody. I did read some of the manuscript stuff that you sent, especially on the Expedia side. I'm bullish and excited about the One Pass. The One Key program. I think when you see a program get rolled out like that and it actually picked up adoption and usage, especially on mobile, for me, it was cool to see that it was like there was a definitely like a clear line of return for them to roll out that program. So should be interesting to watch that play out through Expedia's kind of overall cycle. And shout out to Tanner Cummings, who is tuning in from Atlanta, representing Georgia. Gotta love it.
The South. So
we say ATS.
Hey, Tanner. I think broadly speaking, obviously the numbers can speak for themselves, but one of the key things that Expedia called out was something we've talked about a couple times, which is the back end working in harmony with one another. When you meld so many brands together like Expedia has, there's just years and years of technical debt, and they've been working through that, and hopefully they're getting toward the tail end of it. Well, again, I think that can culminate in the One Key program being highly, highly successful and something that their competitors don't have. Another thing Expedia called out was they have hotels and Airbnb doesn't, and that is a selling point. So I'm very curious, Jamie, do you think Airbnb might explore getting into the hotel world, or are they pretty happy and content? They own Hotel Tonight, but doesn't seem like they've tried to push that brand too much lately.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that they will be considering. They've called it out in their earnings calls as really expanding beyond the core. Like right now, they're really focused on growing international markets. But they said in the latter half of 2024, they're going to be sort of announcing new things that sort of bring them beyond sort of home share, short-term rentals, vacation rentals. Hotels could definitely be a piece of that. Their marketplace could be a piece of that. How they're going to leverage their new AI company could be a major piece of that. So I don't have any crystal ball into what they're going to announce. So it could be all three of those things. But I mean, yeah, so you see, though, the benefit in Expedia's sort of business of having both hotels, air, car, vacation rentals all within one platform. And with their new launch of the sort of unified front end, that they can just turn on cars on hotel.com, or they can bring VR into Expedia, and they can prioritize like what brand they want in a specific market and have all of their options for people to book right there. And they can test and iterate quick. So, and I'm pretty excited for them. Vrbo, it was a tough year for them. And they announced in 2023, overall lodging bookings were up 11%. Hotel bookings were only up 18%. If you do the math, that means Vrbo's bookings were down like 10%. So it was a tough year for Vrbo, but they said 2024 year for growth.
Yeah. And so I think it was interesting, Michael, you're talking about technical debt and that, you know, just having all of these legacy systems, having a whole bunch of systems. So you've sacrificed upgrading your technology over quite a long period of time. And then especially after merging all these companies together. And when reading through the earnings call, I thought what was really interesting was how many different sections of the business they've consolidated. So even their CRMs, they said they had 17 CRMs, or they decommissioned 17 of them. So that means they had even more. They brought in all their marketing in-house and eliminated dozens of agencies. So you can really see that they're trying to take all these pieces that they had kind of like jerry-rigged together and make it one cohesive, cohesive company. And, you know, some of these things that used to take weeks or months will take much less time. If anyone's tried to add new units to Vrbo in the last couple of years, it's a pretty frustrating process. So that will help them. The one thing I disagree with that they said is that they didn't give up space to anybody in this period. And I don't really think that that's true. They've acknowledged that they have to play a lot of catch up, which we saw through all of their increased marketing spend, but they definitely have conceded space to Airbnb. And I don't think that it's an insurmountable gap to close, but they definitely, it'll be a little bit of an uphill battle when Airbnb is like synonymous with the whole short-term rental industry.
What's interesting is in hotels, they're going more brands, more sub-brands, so travelers can identify with that brand and the look and feel of that property. I think the exact opposite needs to happen with Expedia, and they acknowledge this in their report as well, that they just need to use a flagship brand instead of all of their sub-brands. Expedia, Hotels.com, Vrbo, yada, yada, yada. The list goes on. I mean, at one point, I think Vrbo had made 13 acquisitions of different sub-brands. So they did that work, rolled it into HomeAway, rebranded to Vrbo. But from a traveler perspective, they want the one easy to go to, see everything. And then they also want the thing that they can identify with most closely. And before we move on, quick shout out to Sojo. I checked into a vacation rental over the weekend, and the first thing I see by the sink is a nice little branded box of Scenic Stays. What's up, Lino Maldonado? And I was like, I know that box. So I was able to show my family who sponsors our show. And then we proceeded to use the amenities in the bathrooms and the kitchen. So shout out Sojo. Love seeing the product in the wild.
Hey, Michael, what can our listeners get if they sign up for Sojo in the link in the description in the show notes?
You tell me.
30-day free sample box, baby. That's what's up. So grab the link, sign up, and tell the Sojo team that we say hi when you do it. So yeah, there you go.
For 30 days.
Yeah. Shout out to Tanner again. Engineer turned entrepreneur here. Tech debt can be like blood in the water and is a great opportunity for new businesses nailing a niche. So I don't know. Overall, I think there was a lot of good from these earning calls. I'm very curious. I know when they were mentioning the brand thing that at least for Expedia, the one key program is definitely going to be part of that. It's going to be interesting to see how they deploy in like Europe versus America and other places. And then, of course, they'll roll out the new CEO coming in. So I don't know how to pronounce her name. It's Ariana? Yeah?
Depends if you're in the South or the North.
Yeah, well, I'm going to butcher it. So shout out to her for taking over. She was, I think, the vice president or president of business at Expedia. So it's going to be a big transition, but sounds like she's got a good head on her shoulders, and the overall like vision and leadership skill that she has with the team already is already a good rapport. So I know Peter Kern mentioned that a little bit in his address in the beginning, but I'm very curious, kind of going into a different topic, outside of like earning calls and shares, like the shareholder basically announcements, AI, new interface, Airbnb is like mentioning. I'm very curious to know your guys' thoughts, because like they took a $200 million bet on this acquisition with Game Planner. They're not rolling out a language model like ChatGPT or other things like that. They're trying to roll out an interface, and like this, that could be taken so many ways, especially because the founders of Game Planner AI are the creators of Siri. So like, is this interface going to be a voice like responder? Is this going to be like an app that searches and goes above all apps? Like, I would love your thoughts. So Brandy, you have a little smile on your face. Let's see what you got.
So they talk about, like, I definitely think that this is going to lead to really interesting products or maybe improvements to the Airbnb experience, you know, planning your trips or anticipating the trips that you want to take. But I don't really see, they talk about having this like cross vertical, like basically Airbnb having the potential to become Amazon. And that is, you know, I mean, obviously Amazon started off as a bookstore, so anything is possible, but I just didn't feel like there was really any substance behind how they're going to accomplish that. And so aside from like making the app be like the best travel app. And so I mean, there's a lot of really smart people working there, so I'm sure they have specifics, but they kept talking about what the high level plan is without like really any meat or substance to what that will look like. And so like you can say cross vertical, but like what does that really entail? And if the value in these language models is like the big infrastructure part that they were talking about, I think that they can really make enhancements with that, but are they really building anything that is super unique and super valuable outside of their business?
Yeah. And I don't know what other verticals they would cross into outside of like, Michael, you made the comment they could turn on, or no, that was about hotels, but like they could maybe use Hotel Tonight or whatever they've acquired and done in the past to open up other things like rent a car, book a hotel, etc. But he doesn't really mention that. He talks about how like Meta and all these other companies have built the infrastructure, and they're not trying to build infrastructure. They're trying to build the interface. So I think like my thinking process is, outside of the short-term rental vertical, what is it? Because they're already going into things like access control and other types of other, you know, vendor-like services and products. So that's still industry vertical. Like that's a vertical of the industry. I don't know what else they would get into.
We're just simply not creative enough to understand what's going on in San Francisco. We're not
Brian Chesky visionaries. So, Michael, what do you think?
I mean, there's probably some to that we just don't really see what they're seeing right now. But there's also some probably to talking up and using some buzzwords and building up the stock price to shareholders. So I have no doubt they're working on some stuff. They are a PR machine, so I don't doubt that there's something behind it, but, you know, they're pivoting to become the next Amazon. I can't wrap my head around it, but I wish them luck. I hope they do. I'd be very curious what happens. So, yeah, I mean, adding stuff to the marketplace doesn't increase their market cap 100x. To catch up with Amazon. So I look forward to learning more.
It's a lot of news that we get to cover in the future. That's for sure.
Yes. Bring us more content. but I have a question for Jamie. So they, you know, there's been this big push for them to lower their cleaning fees or for us to lower our cleaning fees. And you know, we were kind of talking before the show about this discrepancy between this like drive to lower the cleaning fee, lower the cost, and then the rising costs of the labor necessary to run these businesses. And that was kind of my point. And they were saying, like in the earnings call, that 300,000 listings removed or lower their cleaning fees. And by the year end, nearly 40% of the active listings didn't charge a cleaning fee at all. 40% seems very high. And so you had some numbers kind of around that. Can you dive into that a little bit?
Yeah, one is that, and it's much more likely to not have cleaning fees in outside of the US. So we still see that 85% of listings on Airbnb have a cleaning fee in the US. And then you go to like the UK, it's like 50%. You go to other countries in APAC, it's even more than or less than that. So big difference there. And then in terms of sort of changing cleaning fees, what we had been seeing for really 3 years with 2020, 2021, and 2022, cleaning fees on average for an average property were going up like 10% per year. So like 2020, it was like, yeah, we got to clean this stuff more. And then 2021, it was like a big push into higher or larger homes, which had higher cleaning fees. 2022 was just the exponential rise in labor costs associated with cleaning. Fast forward to this year, we saw the cost of labor for hospitality workers not rise as much. So it was only like 4% instead of like 10% last year. But we have seen the overall rise in cleaning fees on a year-over-year basis. So on average, only up like 2%. So we're not seeing cleaning fees rise as quickly as labor costs where it had been going. And I maybe attributed a lot of that to sort of the competition pressures. So overall ADRs were down this past year. Occupancies were down. Like we're having to compete with rate and that cleaning fee and is a piece of the rate that consumers sort of react to and is one sort of lever that we have to pull in terms of and what is going to be the overall cost of the stay.
Yeah, and it's difficult because there's the cost. I mean, I think outside of labor, like you still have like the cost of linens and the laundry, like all of those costs are going up. And whether, you know, it might not be as the jumps might not be as big year over year, but they are still increasing. And so that's, you know, I think the guest also has to realize like someone has to come in and clean this large apartment or this large home that you're staying in. So I'll be curious to see kind of next year what this trend looks like in the US, because obviously Brian is talking about like the whole company portfolio. So
yeah. And also important to keep in mind when he says 300,000 listings, like I see that number like, man, that's a lot of listings. And you look at that in context of Airbnb, they have 7.7 million active, less than 4%. Like,
yeah,
they've 3.5 million listings in Europe. They've got millions in APAC, Latin America. So a lot can be happening on the platform that just touch what's going on in the US right now.
I would also say like kind of a comment slash question, though. It was a really interesting statement, you know, that they made on their thing. And it said, we're driving affordability for guests throughout 2023. We introduced several features to help provide more affordable options for guests, from new pricing tools for hosts to increase price transparency for guests. We're encouraged by the results is basically what they said. But, you know, according to AirDNA, getting to work with you guys on some marketing stuff and some ad reads and other things in our network, 50% of the operators on Airbnb are actually doing revenue management, dynamic pricing, other things like that. The other 50 are only doing two sets of rates, which is weekday and weekend. So basically by creating affordability for guests, they're really just targeting, like one of the comments on that statement was the allowing hosts to compare other listings. And if they're comparing other listings within their market, then there's an overall, I guess, a statistic that 50% of them aren't really dynamic pricing or doing any revenue management. So you're comparing against garbage and reality of like operators that don't really care about driving revenue. So of course it's going to be driving affordability for guests. That's my like thing, is it's a manipulation of the data on their end to make it look like, oh, your competitors aren't charging this $250 rate this week. They're at 175. You should drop down. You're too high. that one person that, or the couple of people that are at 175 aren't dynamic pricing, then, you know, it's kind of like saying, yeah, can follow the leaders of the bottom. Do you agree or disagree, Jamie?
I see this as part of the competition with hotels. About every major hotel is doing revenue management. Hotels do a significantly better job than short-term rentals of managing rate, especially in the off season. Like, we're all good at raising rates during peak times, sort of capture that rate, like figure out what people are willing to pay. But how much do we have to drop rate in the off season to induce someone to book that wouldn't have otherwise booked? And I think Brian, Airbnb see that as a major opportunity to continue to drive bookings and growth in bookings and get more heads and beds. But it starts with finding that clearing price of how much do we need to lower rates that's going to get someone to go to a short-term rental on the beach in the winter. Like, yeah, you're not going to pay peak season rates, but $150, like, I'd go down to the beach right now and work. Like, so
spontaneous.
So I think that's a big part of it. Yes, and our data shows that most Airbnb hosts aren't changing the rates, and they announced that they reached 5 million short-term rental hosts this past quarter. 3.5 million of those only have one unit. So I don't think it can be lost on, like, when we talk about this, of how many of the hosts out there just have one unit. They're pricing that one unit. They're not using dynamic pricing features like AirDNA or Price Labs or Beyond or Wheelhouse. Like, and Airbnb's got to try to find ways to get them to better be doing more revenue management as part of their sort of day-to-day operation.
It's not their full-time job. It's found change in the couch, really. And that's half of Airbnb's listings, the single host side. Now, it's very similar to what eBay has, which is professional sellers and non-professional sellers. I can go list some shoes that I never wore on eBay, and I don't care what I get for them, because all I care is that I get greater than $1, because that's more than I would have otherwise, right? And similar to people that have these assets that maybe they're using, maybe they aren't, maybe they're happy to vacate and leave if they get a booking. And that's how I ran my house during Auburn football games, was if I get my number, and my number was static, depending on, well, it was dynamic depending on if we were playing, you know, what teams. But if I get that number, then I'm happy to do the work and get out of the house and let them take it. So there are two very different personas that Airbnb has to contest with, professionals and not professionals. And if half of their employee or half of their properties, and I know that number's not right, but Jamie, you can tell me exactly what number. I'm not going to bet my house on it this time. But if majority of the properties are run by people that have one, two, or three listings, they're not going to put the time into it. And that's just not – everything they make is extra money. It's not their livelihood, their business. It helps cover daycare costs, or helps cover the mortgage.
Yeah, and I think that that's also important for people, you know, who listen to this podcast, who are usually more professional operators, that we're in our own kind of silo, and to not, I think especially, and we kind of panic about it sometimes when we see flashy new features that seem kind of quote anti-host or bigger operator, but it's to remember that we're not part of that target, and to look at all these Airbnb, like, to be aware of what Airbnb is doing that's going to impact your business, and maybe start focusing on your distribution mix, your direct bookings, all of that, and to just like continue to make, like, to keep an eye on what Airbnb is doing and not be so reliant on it, so that, because we'll be the ones that are affected a lot by some of these changes, and you don't want to have your, you know, most of your revenue dependent on that.
Great comment, Brandy. Great comment. We are just a megaphone of the news. We don't create it. So we just share the message. Jamie, you shared in our group chat prior to this, kind of a breaking news for the UK changing some laws. You want to share into that, or should we move into a different topic?
No, we can do a bit. I'm in the process of being studied for, I think, like a year now. And so we've sort of been waiting on sort of bated breath on like what the regulations were going to be. because it looks like they're going to take a national stance on what's going to happen, which we haven't really seen any, I think, really large countries like the UK create a national law around short-term rentals. Like, can you imagine if US government sort of announced, like, we are going to create a national registry of every short-term rental out there? That's what just was announced this morning for the UK. So they're going to create a national registry. They're going to be sort of carving out for people renting their primary home less than 90 days. So I suspect that that was a carve out that Airbnb really pushed for, is to allow the sort of part-time hosts and their primary residents to not be part of any of these new regulations. And then also sort of grandfathering in existing units from the regulation. So I think, and it's still to be seen, what are the sort of downstream effects of this? They're going to be giving local areas much more authority to manage what's going on in their cities, to regulate who can rent, who cannot, how much can be in these markets. So I think it's still yet to be seen what the overall impact is going to be, but some big breaking news out of the UK today.
And I'm no lawyer, nor am I a government relations expert, but the way this reads to me sounds more like the Florida or Arizona kind of state statutes, that there are some overarching rules within the jurisdiction, but local authorities, and I quote, local authorities would be able to remove these permissions and require full planning permission if they deem it necessary. So they still do give local authorities some jurisdiction to do it on their own. So I don't really understand or know what's behind something like this from a national level. What we've seen happen in New York City is, what, Jamie, 60, 70%, or no, probably more than that, 80% reduction in New York City listings, but then an 80% increase in Jersey City listings. So
yeah,
if England wants to do that, then Ireland's going to benefit. Or, I guess Ireland would be the only other island that's not part of the UK, or France or some other mainland Europe country. So people are going to travel. And if you're not going to open up to the way people like to travel, then they'll go somewhere else. It's not, there's plenty of options out there.
They always find a way. Man, this is this 30 minutes goes by really fast. Do you guys agree? Do you feel like we should extend the show into an hour? Just kidding.
I was
hour,
so sad.
Hour and a half, 2 hours.
I didn't get to rant about the Miami supply, but we can table that for another day.
we'll save a brandy rant for next week. I know we're all eager and excited for it, especially the listeners. Tanner's a big fan of the brandy rants, so I think. And oh, FYI, I know you guys keep giving me comments and crap about the swag. I've officially found a swag partner out in Scottsdale, Arizona. So we are ordering our new equipment. Well, not equipment, but our new swag and material here soon. They have to come up with the designs, but I like the material. I like the things that I saw, and the pricing wasn't too bad. So we're going to get some GMA swag out there. Quarter zips, jackets, hats, and t-shirts. So
nice.
That's a mix right now.
Available for purchase for all our listeners?
Soon. You guys will get the first samples. We'll look at them, and then we'll open up the Shopify, you know, get all that launched. But great episode for our listeners. Thank you for tuning in. We will try to do more kind of breakdowns and deep dives like this. Maybe go over our normal 30-minute runtime. We'll see. But until then, if you are a startup in the industry, shout out to us, our new company, Good Morning Startups. We love to advise you, figure out how we can help. And yes, Tanner, we will try to get a 3-piece suit for GMA just for you. But super excited for the companies we're working with. We mentioned AI in this episode, and we didn't have our bestie, Sam Dundas, with Bestie AI, who's one of our Good Morning Startup companies. So shout out to them for crushing it in the AI space. Wow. I'm Will Slickers, the industry's greatest moderator FYI, and had to see that one, Jamie. And then Michael Golden, the man, the myth, the connector, the bridge builder. Wow, I'm losing my words here today. Brandy Canale, the number one rant of the industry that everyone knows and loves. And of course, Mr. Lane, the numbers guy, the real data man behind the industry. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to AirDNA. Any final comments before I roll out the outro clip, guys?
I do. Yep. I agree. You're the best moderator in the space, Will. I support that statement.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I couldn't take it from Jason Calacanis to say the greatest moderator ever, like blanket statement, but I'll take the industry. I'll take that. Yeah. All right. Off with the outro. Like and subscribe. Make sure you grab everything in the show notes for our listeners listening to the replay. We love you guys. We'll see you all again next week. Don't forget our Wednesday crew, the Hotel Edition, coming to you live with Steve Turk and Sarah Dandashi. See you soon.